God told me a long time ago that I was to follow him joyfully. So I've been following joyfully ever since. Turn with us to James chapter 5, verse 7. You remember last week we considered James's call to the people he was writing to for their need for patience while they waited for the appearing of the Lord. And so we talked about the wonderful hope that's there of the Lord Jesus coming back. And they were expecting an imminent return. And we know now that he hasn't come, which only means that we are even more anticipating his return in his own time. And so the need for patience, and James was talking about that. As we move on further through James, it seemed to me that we needed to just stop. It's appropriate, of course, after looking at the passage that we did last week, to ask an obvious question. I want to ask it gently, but I want to ask it earnestly. In consideration for the imminent return of Jesus Christ, are we ready? Are you ready for Jesus' appearance, the royal return of the King? The two people in our readings, of course, weren't ready. One was a successful businesswoman out and about, and the Bible literally calls her in that passage a God-fearer. As a God-fearer, she had this idea that there was a God, he was awesome. She feared him, she acknowledged that he was such a person, but she wasn't ready. The other man was as rough as could be, tough as could be. They didn't just send anyone in to become jailers and guards. They sent people who had a stomach for violence, a stomach to be able to take some of the things that they would see in the jails and some of the things that they'd have to dish out in the jails. He was tough, but he wasn't ready for the appearing of the Lord Jesus. As we think about his appearing, how does that honestly make us feel? How confident are we when we think about the appearing of the Lord Jesus? What are we building our confidence on? What does it stand on? And I'm certainly not talking about just some theoretical kind of idea of, oh yeah, Jesus coming back. But as we actually think about it, it seems to me that sometimes we feel much more confident about facing him when things are going well in our Christian life, in our spiritual life. When we feel deeply enthusiastic about God and what he's doing in our life. When we, you know, are very regular church attenders and we're in a small group Bible study and things seem to be going okay and we feel confident about that. We have a love, we have an emotional kind of attachment to him. And so when we think about him and we think about him coming back, sometimes they are the things that underneath we're building our confidence upon. But that's shaky ground, isn't it? That's shaky ground because for all of us, there are times when we're not that enthusiastic about church attendance or Bible study or Bible reading. There are times when we neglect these things, where things are not going so well in our relationship with our wife or things are all upset at home or we flag in that sort of enthusiasm and that love, that emotional sort of component to our relationship with God seems to go and just kind of evaporates. We sin. We do the very things that we say and believe that we shouldn't do, and we do them. And we don't do the very things that we say that we believe in and know that we ought to do. We don't do them. So if we're building our confidence on those things, then when we think about the Lord's return, some of us want to keep it in the background because it makes us feel a little bit uneasy. There are two verses in the scriptures I just want us to look at today. One of them is the most well-known of verses, and the other one's not so well-known. First one, of course, is John 3:16. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. The second passage Jason's going to put up on the board is found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. We're just going to stay on this a little bit today. This is God's command that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus the Messiah. When Lydia realized that she wasn't ready, she wasn't connected to God, and she cried out, what was it that they told her to do? Could have told her a thousand things to do, but they said, believe. That tough, rough jailer who fell down on his knees, his life was at an end. He knew that he was going to be killed. That was his understanding. That would be what would have happened. He'd been given strict orders that they were not to escape, and here they were, this possibility for them all to just rush him and overcome, and he knew his life was at an end, and he wasn't ready for that. What do I do? What do I do? And they just simply said to him, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus. So there's, when you think about the gospel, let's never, ever forget. Let's not complicate what is not complicated. The one and only command in the gospel is to believe. To believe. And this is God's command, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus the Messiah. So what are we to believe? If we were to throw that out amongst all different churches, there'd be all kinds of things that would come in. Are we supposed to be believing the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed? Are we supposed to embrace a whole sort of package of systematic theology, whether it's Calvinism or whether it's Arminianism or whether it's this-ism or that-ism or a whole lot of other sorts of things? There's so many things that people are saying, but for us, we turn away from those things. We just stick with the text. For the text says, this is God's command, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus the Messiah. So even in that verse there, it tells us what is it that we are to believe. The faith that brings us to God and the faith that enables us to be as ready as we ever need to be to meet the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ is a faith that is built on believing in a person, depending upon Jesus for this amazing rebirth inside that we've experienced or that we can experience. The faith that brings the reality of the life to come into our souls today is just by simply believing. There is nothing else we need to do. There is nothing else we can do. Surely that's too simple. Surely we're being presumptuous to say this. But no, because it's God's command. He commands us to believe. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Again, that text. Believing in Jesus means that we must believe him to be God's Son. Believe in the name of his Son. Okay? Nothing short of God's Son, nothing short of a divine person is able to save us. Some people might think him to be a good person, a wise teacher. But a good person can't save us, a wise teacher can't save us. If that's what Jesus is, then he cannot save us. A guru can't save us. Someone with lots of words that they can tell us about what we can do in our life to bring peace into our life cannot save us from our sins. Only a divine person. Because as it goes on, we must believe that Jesus is God's Son. So turn that around the other way. We must believe that in God's Son as Jesus, our sins are forgiven. The name Jesus means Savior. So Jesus, as God, became a real human being in order to take our pain, our brokenness, our disconnectedness from God, the things that we call sin, that's all the things that they do in our lives. He came and he took all of those as Jesus, as a human being. And then it says, believe in the name of his Son Jesus, the Messiah. Your translation might say, the Christ. The Messiah. It's the name given to him. One who is sent by the Father, chosen and anointed by the Father and sent on this supreme errand of bringing sinners back to God. They're the only people he was sent to bring to God. Don't look down on that term, sinner. It's the most beautiful term in the world. It's the most truthful term in the world, but it's the most beautiful term in the world because they're the ones that the Messiah came to bring to God. Only sinners, nobody else. He wasn't sent on his great mission to bring good people to his Father in heaven. He wasn't sent to bring saints to heaven. He wasn't sent to bring religious people to heaven. He was sent to bring sinners. And we claim to be sinners, gladly, welcomely, excitedly. Yes, that's me. It's me, here, over here, don't forget me. The Messiah. He came from the Father, and as Jesus, he stood in the sinner's place to bear the curse of the lawbreakers. And God's command is that we should believe in him in all of those areas. His Son, Jesus, the Messiah. And that's it. The only other thing we need to say, and sometimes this is what gets missed, is that believing needs to be personal. What does it say? This is God's command that we should believe. That we should believe. Believing is most clearly explained by the simple word trust. We need to hear the truths, but the essence of it all is when we rely on those truths. When we rely on those truths. We're sinking in the raging floodwaters, a rope is thrown to us, we grasp the rope. And that grasp is faith. Trusting Jesus, that he's the saviour of the world, means trusting him to save me, trusting him to save you, believing becomes personal for each of us. Or we're unworthy. We may think ourselves the most unworthy person in the world. It doesn't matter. Whether we're a rich and successful businesswoman unworthy, or whether we're a rough, tough, broken, uncouth jailer who's unworthy, it doesn't make any difference. Because God commands that we can believe. God commands us to believe. And we can do that. We can believe. We don't have to go and sort ourselves out. We don't have to go and fix ourselves up. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is believe. That's his command. We can do that if we want to. In fact, we'll be disobeying God if we don't. Don't sit and think, and don't let anybody that you might be talking to during the weeks and months of your life as you share your faith, that some person in some self-righteous kind of way thinks that they are too big a sinner or too whatever, whatever, to be able to obey God. That's just false modesty. God commands us to believe. We can do that. In fact, we'll be disobeying him if we don't. That's how keen he is for us to believe. That's how keen he is. He's not offering this. He's not saying, oh, you know, my suggestion is. He's saying, do it. You know, the stories that he told, Jesus told, about the banquets, and the people that were invited who just turned their nose up about it. You know, the religious people, that's what he was meaning at the time. All the Pharisees and the scribes who didn't think they were, you know, bad enough to need to be forgiven. And so they would, you know, surrounded themselves in their own self-sufficiency and so on. And he told these stories against them, that this king threw a big banquet and people were invited, and so many of them just turned their nose up at it. And so he told the servants to go out into the highways and the byways. And he uses very forceful language in those stories. He says, force them to come in, drag them in, compel them to come. Why? Because he's a cruel despot? No, because he's full of love and he knows that that's the only place to be saved. He commands us to believe. Who are we to disbelieve? He's so keen. He's so keen. That's all we can do. It's all we have to do. It's all we're able to do. We can do it anytime, anywhere. You might be sitting there, and seriously, I'm meaning this, gently but urgently, you may be sitting there and thinking, I'm not sure if I've ever really just believed. I'm not sure whether I've really put my faith in all my church going and all my do-gooding. Well, you might be looking at it from the other end of the scale. You might be thinking everyone else around you thinks you're a jolly good Christian, and you're sitting there feeling really ashamed and really disconnected from God because of whatever's going on in your life. No one else may know about some of those things. God does. I don't mean to say that it doesn't matter in that those pains and hurts that you might be going through don't matter, but those things don't need to stand in the way. Because as I said, he's not asking us to do anything but believe in him. We can do it any time. We can do it anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a church. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday. It doesn't have to be on our knees. It doesn't have to be with our eyes closed. It can just be anywhere, anytime, just silently between us and God. Oh, Father, I believe in your Son, who as Jesus is my Messiah. I believe. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and for the simplicity of your command. May we each hear your Spirit as you speak to us and draw us today. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.